أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us recognize the truth and help us follow it, and to help us recognize the falsehood and help us avoid it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best of our deeds, the last ones that we do, and the best of our days, the day that we shall meet Him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic, of course, is about the belief in al-jinn and magic. And subhanAllah, this topic in particular is really a fertile ground for so many stories and so many discussions. And you rarely talk about this topic to anybody, you know, except that they have something to share about the topic. That I know somebody, I've seen something, I know someone who knows someone, I felt something. And of course, these things can be explained to different ways, and inshallah we'll talk about that. But these stories, you'll find clearly that in particular, they're more spread in certain situations, in certain environments, and among certain peoples in particular. You'll find them being spread in certain societies that are less educated, that are not as educated. I mean, I'm not saying that to look down on anyone that discusses the topic, but as an observation, you will find that to be the case, that the repetition of these stories will happen mostly in certain societies and environments that are less educated, or in certain cases where a person goes through hardship, where a person goes through depression, hardship, difficulties, you know, and they feel compelled to explain these hardships using some metaphysical or ghaibi explanations, that there must be something behind that. And if you look that, you'll find that to be the case. And I can tell you actually, and I think just to be honest about the whole topic, you'll find it mostly spread in Muslim societies. And before I get into the discussion, wallahi, two things I want to explain. I want to make sure that I make clear. We're not talking about questioning here the belief in the jinn or in the magic. It is mentioned in the Quran. Both are mentioned in the Quran. So we do believe in jinns and we do believe in magic. But the question is, and that's what we'll be spending the time on this week, today and the next week, is what exactly does our belief in the jinn look like? What do we believe about when we talk about the jinn? And when we talk about magic, what does it mean? What is the significance of that? What is the effect on that? Is there an effect on that? We'll be discussing that. And after that, of course, not less important, is how does a person actually protect himself from that? And with all of that, inshallah, we'll make sure to refer actually to the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, when I said, by the way, that this exists probably largely in Muslim societies, of course, in other societies as well, I remember in the 70s, there was one particular movie that had a tremendous impact on the whole topic. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? It was a big thing. I remember when we were in Lebanon, we were kids. And even among ourselves, we started talking about that. Oh, there's this movie. Have you heard about this? And the adults were talking about it. It made a big change in people's perception of the topic. And it was followed by many imitations. One movie in particular. Which one? The Exorcist, that one. SubhanAllah, that movie had a tremendous impact on the perception, actually, of the topic. And people started talking about that. And I can tell you, even Lebanon, they started saying that if you have a heart problem or if you're a pregnant woman, you should not actually watch the movie. Which, of course, actually contributed to the advertisement that, well, I want to watch it. I want to see it. And you can see it colored our belief in the topic. Just like sometimes the movies on zombies and all of that colored our belief in the way we see the dead people. You know how some people are afraid of looking at dead people. Now, if a person will be afraid because that might happen to me, that's understandable. But some people are afraid of the dead person himself, that something is going to happen. Well, I wasn't afraid of him when he was alive. You know, why would I be afraid of him after he died? But sometimes the idea that he's going to stand up and then walk and then do something, the zombie idea. That's why much of our belief is colored by these things, by the way. And it affects the way we actually even propagate them among ourselves. So it isn't there. And again, I'm not denying the jinns or the sihr, the magic, because they're both mentioned in the Quran. But exactly what does the Quran say about them? And if there was one important thing probably that I would like to emphasize today, it would be that thing. Is that when it comes to the ghaib, to the aqidah, anything of the aqidah matter, and specifically the aspect of the aqidah that is related to the ghaib, that can only be taken from a text, from a Quranic text or a hadith by the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. And that Quranic text or hadith has to be two of them.
authentic. Of course, the Quran is all authentic, but the hadith in particular. And second thing has to be clear in its meaning. So that's what we say, you know, صحيح وصريح, or what we call قطعي الدلالة وقطعي الثبوت. So it has to be authentic or valid in its authenticity, and also conclusive in its meanings. So if something is not authentic, then we cannot base a belief on it. Actually, if a hadith is not authentic, you cannot even base a fiqhi matter on it. You can definitely not base an act of worship on it. And then most certainly you cannot base a aqidah on it. Some scholars actually even put as a condition that the hadith has to be what is called mutawatir. That khabar al-ahad is not even taken in that regard. Some opinions, but the majority is that if khabar al-ahad, which is the one that comes through one chain of narrator, if it is established to be authentic, then we can take it actually even in matters like that. So you cannot take matters of aqidah from feelings or even from perceptions, which can be sometimes distorted and also sometimes can be subjective. Or even the conclusions of the scholars, if it does not have a foundation in an authentic text. This is very important, especially for the discussion that will happen next week. By the way, just to let you know, we will not be discussing the whole thing today. So part of it will be left till next week. But today, inshallah, we'll talk about the basis for whatever we'll be discussing next week, the magic and everything else. Not only that, but the one who wants to prove something is the one that has to bring actually the proof. So for example, a person can come to me and tell me, you know, that in Islam, I believe in this. And I would tell him, no, this is not valid. I reject that. He cannot tell me, what is your dalil? What is your proof? But I'm the one that should ask him for a proof. So confirming something is the one that requires the proof and not rejecting it. Is that point clear? So the one who will be asked to bring the proof is the one who brings in the new idea and not the other way around. I can reject it by simply proving that the basis for that is not authentic or is not solid enough, and that will be sufficient. And he cannot ask me, what is your dalil? But I'm the one that would ask him for the dalil. And in the whole process, it is very important to keep in mind that nobody is infallible except the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So the only one who is ma'soom is the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So the only one who is guidance we will not question is the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Anyone short of that, like Imam Malik ibn Anas said, كُلٌّ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُتْرَكْ إِلَّا الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That everyone short of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, you can take some of what they say and you can reject some of what they say. So nobody is infallible except the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So there's nothing wrong with, let's say, disagreeing with Ibn Taymiyyah, as great as he was. And it doesn't mean that, of course, it does not discredit Ibn Taymiyyah, but it has to be remembered that no one is infallible except the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And as the expression in Arabic says, قول الله وقول الرسول وقول الله والرسول يحتج به وقول من سواهما يحتج له. The words of Allah and the Messenger are proof in themselves, but the words of anybody else require a proof. So there's nothing wrong with disagreeing with a certain scholar. And if you disagree with a certain scholar, it doesn't mean, again, that you're putting him down or that you're putting yourself above. Because there are certain parts or certain information that were not available to them at the time. Especially when it comes to certain sciences and certain things, their knowledge was deficient in that regard. There's no doubt about that. So if I say, for example, that the great Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and of course, by the way, I always quote him myself, but when I say that Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah did not know as much as we do today about, of course, neurological science, psychology, and all of these things, there's nothing wrong with that. That is a fact. That is a fact that there are certain knowledge that was not available to him. And there's nothing wrong to say that certain big scholars made a mistake. By the way, subhanAllah, I wasn't aware as to how much differences of opinion regarding that issue there are, until I started actually researching it in depth. I'm talking about some of the contemporary scholars, by the way. The contemporary scholars, and I'm not saying I'm a scholar, by the way, in any way. I'm just repeating what I read. There's nothing wrong with saying that a contemporary scholar today disagreed with some of the earlier scholars. There's nothing wrong with that. The earlier scholars, even the Sahaba, alayhim ridwanullah, they were not infallible. And their knowledge, of course, is all could be deficient, unless it was the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? So again, magic is mentioned in the Quran, and al-jinn is mentioned in the Quran. But what does exactly the Quran say about both? That, inshallah, what we'll be discussing. And another important thing in the topic is that the issue of magic and exactly what it is not one of the fundamentals of the aqidah, one of the main lines of aqidah. So if a person differs with you in opinion, it's not a reason or a basis for calling him a fasiq or a kafir or something like that, or a deviant or something of that nature. No, a person may differ in opinion, but of course, you know, we'll look at, inshallah, both arguments in the process. First, inshallah, we'll talk about the jinn. What does the Quran actually exactly say about the jinn? Of course, the jinn or the belief in the jinn is not part of the pillars or the articles of faith. But of course, it is mentioned clearly in the Quran. There are many places in the Quran that mention actually al-jinn. Actually, about 40 ayah in about 10 surahs that mention that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among examples of that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and the humans except to worship me. And also in Surah Al-Rahman, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفِذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. That all people of, or all jinns, or humans and jinns, if you want to get out of the realm of the heaven and the earth, go ahead and do that. You will not be able to do that except with a proof or with a valid mean. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Al-Jinn. Very clearly, the beginning of Surah Al-Jinn actually talks about that. قُلْ أُوحِيَ أَلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمَعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَأَمَنَّ بِهِ وَلَمْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. To the end of the verses. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something similar to that, that some of the jinns actually listened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Al-Ahqaf, where he said, إِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. That Allah said that we have sent down to you a group of jinns that were listening, and they started listening to the Quran, and then when they said, listen. And after everything was finished, they went back to their own people, warning them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that actually in many places in the Quran, and basically putting the text together and the context actually as to where it happened, it seems that one of the times, and this may be referring to that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, on his way back from the Ta'if, when he was basically chased out of the Ta'if alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was praying Fajr in a certain place, it says that a group from the jinns, called the jinns of Nasibin, listened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the interesting thing here is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the Quran, Allah says, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. That it was revealed to me that a group from the jinns were listening to me. So it did not say that the Prophet ﷺ was able to see them, or the Prophet ﷺ was able basically to spot them, but it says that Allah told him. So it's something that just happened that the Prophet was not even aware of it, that the jinns listened. So had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not told the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet wouldn't have known. That's what the verse clearly indicates. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. It was revealed to me that a group of the jinns listened to me. So the Prophet was not even aware while the jinns were listening to him. It just happened. Which means the connection again was not there, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it happened also in another instance where there's a hadith of Ibn Mas'ud where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directly spoke to the jinns. But the scholars, they said that this is something only to a prophet. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet in Surah Al-Jinn that it is the revelation that told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about Al-Jinn. And since the revelation is only to the Prophet, so the connection can only be established conclusively through a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what do we believe about the jinns being, when we talk about Al-Jinns? What are the jinns? Who are the jinns? Now, of course, some people basically say, and some of even the Muslims believe in that, and this is almost like stretching the text too much. Some, they say that the jinns are nothing but like microbes, you know. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْمَيْكْرُوبِز يعني نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. That Allah revealed to me that the jinns are listening. Does that mean the microbes are listening? Of course, this is like stretching the text too much to fit certain belief or certain things that people have. The rule here, the rule, by the way, in the Quran is that the text is understood in the most direct way unless there's an indication for otherwise. So a person cannot jump immediately into calling a certain text to be a metaphor or something of that nature. But the rule in the tafsir of any Quranic text is to use a simple Arabic language and using the direct meaning. For a person to claim an indirect meaning, that requires a proof. Otherwise, you know, the whole Quran will be explained actually without any control. So again, we believe in the existence of the jinns. What are the jinns? The jinns are a group of or beings of an unseen nature. Alam ghaybi, beyond, metaphysical. So we do believe that it exists. Why do we believe that it exists? Because the hadith and the verses in the Quran indicate that. And we take that as it is. Okay? Now, what do we believe in? Again, we stick to the text and we do not go beyond the text. This is something really very important, is that we stop at the text whenever it comes of anything of an unseen nature. So what does the Quran say? First of all, is that they are different than the angels. They are different than the angels. We know that they were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they were created from fire. So that's really how they were created initially. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفُخَّارِ وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Allah says that He created the humans from clay, and He created the jinn, which is the father of the jinns, like Adam is the father of the humans, that the jinn, Allah says that He created him from a mixture of fire. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the argument with Iblis, Allah says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهِ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Allah says, why did you not make sujood to him when I commanded you to do that? And Iblis said, I'm better than him. You created me from fire, but you created him from clay. So the fire is better than the clay. Now here a person will say, well, so does that tell us anything about the way they look now? Because a person will say, well, Allah says they were created from fire. Does that mean that they look like, what's that, the Fantastic Four flame? What?
Human torch.
Human torch. You know, does that mean that they look like that made out of fire? Of course not. Allah is just telling us what they were created from. But that does not say anything about their nature. Like a human, for example. Allah says that the human was created from clay, from dirt. It doesn't mean that we look like dirt. Now, some people do. Right? The point here is that what they were created from does not say anything about what they look like now. Okay? So what we know, again, we stick to the text. What we know about is that Allah says they were created from fire. That is the first thing. The second thing is that they were created before the human. So they inhabited, based on the different texts, they inhabited the earth before the human did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first the verse that Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ what? الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ, not الْإِنْسَ وَالْجِنَّ. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and the humans except to worship me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the jinns before, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Al-Hijr, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. Bin Hama'im Masnoon, that we have created the humans from basically from a mixture of clay. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And we have created before that the jinn, the father of the jinns, from fire. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He created the jinns from before that. And of course, we know the famous story where actually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, then He asked Iblis to make sujood, which means Iblis was already there before Adam. And Iblis, of course, was from the jinns and not from the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. That they made sujood to Adam. They made sujood to Adam, except Iblis. He was from the jinn and he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know two things so far. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them before the humans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them from fire. Okay? The third thing is that they multiply. They procreate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And after that, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. That do you take him and his progeny? So there is a progeny, you know, as awliya, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they do procreate, they do multiply. So they had a father and they multiply after that. Yes?
Wait, back to the part where
Now, Iblis, of course, he was dignified, you know, and he was like sitting among the angels, but he was not one of them. So he was, you know, anyway, dignified until he messed up the way he did, you know, in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He was the only one.
I don't know whether he was the only one or not. I don't know. I don't know. But he was sitting among them. That we know. Whether he was the only one or not. We'll come to that. Actually, there are good jinns and bad jinns. We'll come to that in a second. Okay? So that's really what we know so far, is that they procreate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. That there were men among the humans. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there were men among the jinns seeking help. No, there were men among the human seeking help from men among the jinns, and they increased them in fatigue, or they increased them in hardship. So here they said, well, since there's men, means there are women. So which means that there are, like, anyway, and they procreate, so there are male jinns and then female jinns. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course, the interesting thing in this verse, that they were at least, let's say, people from the human seeking help from people from the jinns. And after that, what was the result? فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقَ. That they increased them in fatigue. So instead of helping them, instead of the jinns helping the human, they only increased them in fatigue and hardship, which means they were good for nothing, basically. You know, they did not actually do any help. So whatever the humans were seeking from the jinns, it is something that was not or led to nothing. Okay? Because they said that a common practice of some of the people, especially in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, because the belief in the jinns was widely spread among them, they said that whenever one of them passes through a certain valley, he will say, I seek refuge in the master of the jinns, among the jinns, the master of this valley. First, Allah says that they will not help them in any way. They will not be any help to them. And the second thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignified the humans above the jinns. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have dignified the children of Adam. So the children of Adam are dignified above the jinns. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the great jinn, Iblis, to make sujood to Adam, which shows you the status of the Adam. That's why the human are far more significant and far stronger than the jinns, as these ayahs indicate. And inshallah, we'll talk about that, inshallah, in a little more detail when we get to the magic. The fourth thing, so three things so far. They created for before the humans, from fire, they multiply. The fourth thing is that they see us, but we don't see them. We do not see them. This is the rule in here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. That he sees you and his allies, his people, in a way that you do not see them. So the humans do not see the jinns, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in here, that he sees you from where you do not see them. So they're not visible to say, wallahi, oh, he's a bad person. He must be one of them jinns. The rule here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is that you do not see them. Now, you can tell me the Prophet saw them. Well, there's a specificity for the Prophet. Something specific to the Prophet. Like, for example, you know, he may see certain things that other people did not see, as the other ahadith indicate, but this can be only to the Prophet. So again, the direct meaning is that we do not see them. You do not find any verse in the Quran that says that people actually saw the jinns. So here Allah is saying that they are in the normal situations, you do not see them, except in specific situations and under certain conditions, which we'll be coming to. Number five, the jinns can learn and they can become good. So there are good ones and there are bad ones, as Surah Al-Jinn, here it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّ طَرَائِكَ قِدَدًا. That among us are righteous ones and among us are non-righteous ones. So here they will say basically that among us some of them are good and some of them are bad. And they say basically, actually the beginning of Surah Al-Jinn, I think it will be good to be read, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the jinns, they say that, well, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. You know, that our evil one, it says that most likely referring to Iblis, used to say bad things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will not send anyone. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again on behalf of the jinns, قُلْ أُوحِيَ لَيَّ أَنَّهُ سَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّ سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. That it was revealed to me that a group from the jinns were listening, And they said that we heard an amazing Quran in there. يهدي إلى الرشد فأمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. He guided to the truth, and we believed in him, and we believed in the Quran, and we will not associate anyone with our Lord. وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted above everything. He did not beget or take any mistress or any child. وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا. That our mean evil one, meaning the Iblis, used to say bad things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأن ظننا أن لن تقول الإنس والجن على الله كذبا. And we thought that the humans and the jinns will not be lie, will not lie. So which means we believed what he was saying to us. We did not think that somebody would lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. There were men among the humans seeking help from jinns, from men among the jinns, and they only increased them in fatigue. وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. And these men, they thought that Allah will not bring any resurrections, will not resurrect people. The interesting thing here is that this is qualifying the people that seek help from the jinns. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there were some humans or men from the humans. Did I say it correctly? That there were some men that were seeking help from jinns. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these men that were seeking help from the jinns, وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. They thought that Allah would not resurrect anybody. So there's a big problem in the belief of those men that were seeking help from the jinns. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something else which we'll be coming to. Okay? So the point here is that the human or the jinns can learn and can acquire knowledge and can believe just like the human actually do. And after that, of course, related to that is that there are believers and there are disbelievers. So they have the choice of being good jinns or bad jinns, which is unlike the angels. You know, the angels were created from a way or in a certain way that they can only be good. So the angels do not have the choice. They cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the humans and the jinns have the choice, have the options. And then resulting from that is that the humans and the jinns will be judged on the day of judgment. But the angels will not. So the angels will not be judged, they will not be rewarded, they will not be punished, because that's the way actually they're created. But the humans and the jinns, they will be judged based on that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, basically the verses that I said, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَئِكَ تَحَرَّوا رَشَدًا وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Further down in actually Surah Al-Jinn. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. Among us are the Muslims, people that submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among us are الْقَاسِتُونَ. الْقَاسِتُونَ, which is the opposite of الْمُقْسِتُونَ. الْقَاسِتُونَ means the unfair one, the transgressors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَئِكَ تَحَرَّوا رَشَدًا. Whoever submits, then those have chosen the good way. وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. That the unjust ones were actually wood or fuel for the hellfire. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, again, there are good ones and there are bad ones. And then following that, another here description of al-jinn is that they will be resurrected on the day of judgment and they will be gathered and they will be judged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ قَدْ اسْتَكْثَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ وَقَالَ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمْ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ رَبَّنَا اسْتَمْتَعَ بَعْضُنَا بِبَعْضٍ وَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَنَا الَّذِي أَجَّلْتَ لَنَا قَالَ النَّارُ مَثْوَاكُمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day where Allah will gather them all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address the jinn, that you have gathered a lot of followers among the humans. A lot of followers among the humans. So the jinns actually will be rewarded or will be punished, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Okay? The next one. The following thing is that they may have certain powers and they may be able to do certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Quran, like in the story actually of Sulaiman alayhi salam in Surah Sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الْرِيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَاب وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ. Allah says that basically the shaitan were available to him, basically going and diving and then bringing him things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ عَفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك وإني عليه لقوي أمين. That one of the jinns, عفريت من الجن, he said, to Sulaiman that I'm capable of bringing him to you, of bringing basically the throne of Bilqis, the queen of Saba, before you actually stand up from you are, and I am qawiyun amin.
Along the same line, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Saba that about Sulaiman, that يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِنْ مَحَارِيبَ وَتَمَاثِيلَ وَجِفَانًا كَالْجَوَابِ وَقُدُورٍ رَاسِيَاتٍ اِعْمَلُوا أَلَى دَوُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلُوا مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ.
That basically they were doing different things for him, for Sulaiman alayhi salam, because of their power building statues. It was not prohibited at that time, building statues and building, you know, large constructions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says basically that be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, they have certain powers that they can do certain things. The following thing about them is that before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam received the revelation, they used to sit in the sky and then try to sneak. That whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree something, that the angels will repeat it among themselves. And the jinns, as the hadith say, that sometimes they would climb on one another and they will try to sneak and try to listen as to what is being repeated, and you know, and then maybe conveying some of that information. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, or mentions that actually in Surah Al-Jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. That we checked the sky and we found it actually filled with a lot of guards and basically something that will attack us. And they said that this happened when the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Before that, they used to be able to sit and then listen. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the first revelation, then that actually happened. So the sky became guarded by meteorites, by certain things or certain guards. They could not listen anymore. And they said to one another, something must have happened on this earth. You know, something must have happened on this earth that prevented us from listening. Until the story actually of that Allah mentioned in here happened. Which is how long after that? When did the Prophet ﷺ go to the Ta'if? Which year was that?
Year of sorrow.
Which is what year? A nice answer, you know. The 10th year. The 10th after the death actually of Khadija, of Abu Talib and Khadija. And then he went to the Ta'if alayhi salatu wassalam. But the point here is that Al-Jinn took 10 years to find out actually what happened. So the jinns, even though they are whispering to the humans and all of that, but they took 10 years to find out why they could not sneak up in heaven anymore. 10 years. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned the story of Sulaiman, that how he was watching the jinns and he died basically leaning on his cane, right? And they kept on working and they didn't know that he was dead and he was in front of them until basically the termite ate his cane and they fell down. And Allah says, if they knew the truth, they would not remain in the torture that they were subjected to, which tells you the weakness of the jinns. 10 years, and supposedly they have these superpowers that we attribute to them. 10 years, it took them 10 years to find out what happened. 10 years until Allah mentioned actually here the story in Surah Al-Jinn. And they said, وَأَنَّ كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شَهَادًا رَصَدًا وَلَا نَدْرِي. We did not know. أَشَرُّ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. That we did not know what was happening. Is this something good or something bad? So again, it shows you the weakness of the jinns. That 10 years, it took them 10 years to find out what happened. To find out that there was a messenger, that there was a prophet, there was a revelation. And even more than that, of course, the story of Sulaiman, he was looking at them. They were in front of him and they kept on working and they did not know that he was dead until long after actually he died alayhi salam. So again, before the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to sit and then sneak in heaven. The other thing is that, again, they are part of the ghaib, part of the unseen. So they have certain life that we don't know about, that they have a certain way of eating or drinking that exactly we do not know about. Another thing about them is that they could sometimes take a shape. They could sometimes take a shape of a human. Now, is that conclusive or not? Here, some scholars question that, by the way. They said that if it happens, only a prophet probably would see them. If it, based on the general rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned earlier, that he will see you and his people from where you do not see them. So the rule is that you do not see the jinns unless, like I said, it's a prophet or a special case. By the way, let me tell you something. You may hear certain story, whether it's a jinn or something else, any kind of a story. that somebody saw a dream or somebody saw a miracle or something. Some, are you required to believe in that? Nice, straight answer, Rania. Good. Are you required to believe in that? Let's say, for example, somebody sent you an email, somebody saw this and this happened, and of course, we get a lot of these emails. An amazing thing is that they spread more than the Quran spreads. Wallah, it's amazing. You know, I mean, you send a verse of the Quran, it doesn't spread as quickly as some of the stories actually spread. So if one of these stories came to you, or let's say somebody comes to you and tells you, I saw something or something like that happened, do you have to believe in that? Why not?
No.
What?
No.
Why not?
They have to come to
you. What if it's true? Do you have to believe in that? Zakallah khair. Yes, you're not required to believe in any story, even if it's true. Now, if you can verify it and prove, that's another thing. But what I'm saying is that what we're required to believe in are the stories mentioned in the Quran, the hadith. I'm not required to believe in every single story that people actually mention to me. And here, by the way, unless, like I said, you can prove to me. There's an important story, you know, about the Isra al-Mi'raj, and I think that teaches an important lesson. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq alayhi ridwanullah. You know, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went on the miraculous journey of yarhamkumullah, when the Prophet went on the miraculous journey of al-Isra and al-Mi'raj, and he came back to the people of Mecca, and he told them, last night I went to Jerusalem. Now the people of Mecca were happy. Why? Because now it proves that Muhammad is either insane or lying. I mean, normally it takes us weeks to get there, and he's saying that he went overnight. So they started gathering the people for Prophet Muhammad to listen to him. For the first time, before that, they used to scatter people away from him. And they went to his companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Here, come. Your friend is saying that last night, he went to Jerusalem. What did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq say? Yes. What? Yes. He says, إِن كَانَ قَالَهَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If he said it, then it's the truth. He did not say it's the truth. Because the person who's conveying that information to him might be lying. So if you can verify it, then it's a different thing. So he said, if he said it, then I believe in it. He did not say, I believe in it, period. No, no. What if the person is lying? So that's why you have to verify that it was said to you comes from a credible source before you jump into believing that. Okay? Now, and here again, I'm not denying a person, subhanAllah, when it comes to the jinns, there are so many stories. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. I know somebody who knows somebody who sees somebody, you know, who saw this. Or I've seen this, or I felt that. Now, I'm not rejecting the fact that some people might see something. And I'm not rejecting the fact that some people might feel something. But the question is, how do you explain that? And that's really the point. That's the important thing. Let's say a person will say, I did see something. A person may feel something. Okay, I'm not denying the fact that you're feeling something. You're telling me that, I trust you. I'm not denying the fact that you're seeing something. A person may see something. I may see something myself. But the question is, how do you explain that? Just to give you a glimpse. A person going through seizures. Now, if you don't know anything about these neurological disorders and whatnot, and you see a person, anybody seen a person going through seizures? You look at a person going through seizures, shivering, trembling, salivation, all of that. The conclusion is compelling. It must be one of the jinns, right? The conclusion is so tempting. So again, I'm not denying magic. I'm not denying the jinns. I'm not denying some of the stories, some of it. Some of them, you can say most of them are wrong. I'm not denying some of the stories. But what do these stories mean? And what can magic actually do to you? Inshallah, we'll discuss that in a little more detail, inshallah, next week. Any questions so far? You know, the topic has to be established on the belief in the jinns. You cannot talk about the second part without establishing the foundation as to what exactly we believe the jinns actually to be. Yes?
Did the jinn inhabit the earth before the
jinn? Yes, that's what it is believed. That's what it is believed. Why? Because that's why the angels, basically, they said, when Allah told them that He called Rabbukal Malik in the Ja'alu fil ardi Khalifa, I'm putting a vicegerent on the earth, they said, well, are you going to create somebody who will spread corruption and destruction based on their knowledge of what the jinns did? The jinns were actually before the humans.
Do they have religion like Islam Christianity or Hindus, you know, many people believe that.
Yes.
They have the belief.
Well, I see from the text, it seems that they do. Because why? Because they have the choices. They have the choices. You know, they said that some of us, they said in the verse in Surah Al-Jinn that وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ. You know that actually among us there are some Muslims and some that are transgressors. The qasitun can be different things. The unjust by taking different religions. So they can take different religions. Yes, well, he was first. I'm sorry.
Was Iblis a leader of angels?
Before? No, he was sitting among the angels. But he was, Allah says, إِلَّا Iblis. You know that he was from the jinns. كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربي. He was one of the jinns. So he was sitting among the angels. He was dignified until arrogance got to their heart. And subhanAllah, it shows you, you know, what arrogance actually can do to the person. And to him, he's justifying it. You know, أنا خير منه. قال أنا خير منه. You know, خلقتني من نار وخلقته خلقته من طين. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. So fire is better than clay. I'm better.
Jibreel was always the leader of the angels.
Jibreel is the greatest of all the angels.
Always.
The greatest of all the angels. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, regarding your introduction, you know, how can a contemporary scholar know more than a Sahabi, since the Sahaba, Qawl al-Sahabi can be, you know, source
Zakum
of registration?
Allah ybarik fik, you know. Here it depends on whether the Qawl, first of this, I'm going to answer it in general term. I'm not going to answer specifically as related to the jinns, that are the words of the Sahabi considered to be better than the word of any scholar. Here, remember when we spoke about Qawl al-Sahabi and Usul al-Fiqh, it depends on whether Qawl al-Sahabi is his own ijtihad. So is it something that came from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and something that is his own guess? If it is his own guess, of course it takes less weight. The other thing is that, is it an authentic narration or not? Okay? Of course, even if it's the own ijtihad of the Sahabi, I'm not saying that it's insignificant. Of course, he's a Sahabi, alayhi radwanillah. So his words, his expressions carry a lot of weight, especially if it's one of the greatest Sahaba, alayhi radwanillah. So here there are different factors that go into how much weight you place on the statement of the Sahabi himself. Now, I'm not talking about a narration on behalf of the Prophet. That's a different thing. That's a hadith nabawi there. But I'm talking about a statement made by the Sahabi himself. A Sahabi said this, something. How much weight do you give that? It depends. It depends on which Sahabi it is. I mean, the words of, let's say, for example, Umar ibn Khattab alayhi radwanillah or Abu Bakr Siddiq is not like the word of a person, one of the Arab, one of the Bedouins, who is technically a Sahabi. So it differs.
Okay, inshallah. Good question. Jinn was only mentioned in the Quran. They are not mentioned like in the Bible or the Torah, as far as I know, because If someone's talking about the jinn, most likely they would be Muslim. They would not be Christian.
Well, I did not see the Christians believe in possession, by the way.
Yes, but as magic and things like that.
Well, I did not look into that. You know, of course, in Egypt you have actually campaigns of exorcism by Christians. Wallahi, which is so sad. Subhanallah. Wallahi, it breaks your heart. I saw it on YouTube, where you would be like sisters muhajjaba sitting in a church where a priest comes basically to bring the jinns out. And in the name of the Salib and the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, and he will spit in her face. And something that is funny, wallah, it is so, يعني you want to laugh because it's so ridiculous, but you want to cry at the situation of these people. How sometimes people, their mind can be completely gone. And I can tell you some, even Muslims do the same thing. And this is the sad thing, wallah, that's why, you know, I want to talk about this topic. They feel that, you know, that's it. They go to somebody to bring the jinns out and they start beating them sometimes. And they call themselves, I'm an imam or a sheikh or a maulana or something. And they beat them or they spit in their face. And you heard of, I mean, we've heard of certain instances of some people that were killed by this particular sheikh, supposedly, that he was beating the person for the jinn to come out. Wallah, I know a friend of mine who has a very close friend, someone who knows somebody. I have my stories too, you know. His parents thought that he was possessed. And they took him to supposedly a sheikh. Wallahi, no sheikh, nothing. An imposter. That this sheikh is supposed to basically beat the jinn out of him. Supposedly to beat him until the jinn comes out. And the brother is being beaten. He's sitting there. And the man is beating him and is telling him,
come out, come out, you know, come out. And the brother, just to relieve himself of the beating, he said, okay, I'm out, I'm out, I'm coming out. I'm already out. Wallahi, it's sad. Like I said, some people being killed, and even some men touching women in the most inappropriate places just to bring the jinns out. Yeah, subhanAllah. How can you trust someone like that? How can you trust someone like that? And unfortunately, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Fir'aun, استخف قومه فأطاعوه. You know, he belittled their mind. He took their mind away from, you know, he took them for fools, for idiots, excuse me for the expression, and they followed him. And that's what happened when you don't have a ilm, a proper ilm. You're going to buy into these things, and they're going to make fortunes from you. You know why? Because I don't know any better. Whatever he's going to tell me, especially if I'm going through hardship, it is easy for me to give in. He's bringing me, he's promising me relief. He's promising me a cure. And most of the time, problems get aggravated by that. They do not get any better. Yes, Sister Muna.
Now, what I don't get it, do we have qareen? Like
yes, you have a qareen. What?
Good
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, basically that each person, human, has an associate from the jinns. Okay. But what does this qareen or associate do? What does he do? He whispers. That's it. He just do that. See, the whispering of the shaitan is mentioned in the Quran, confirmed. Min shari al-waswas al-khannas and all of the other verses. So this is it. They do that. But can they do more than that? That's the question.
Well, that depends on how your belief and how your action, right? Like, the
what
more
do
you think? I mean, like, are you a good believer? Are you pray on time?
Yes. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the shaitan al-waswas al-khannas. What is al-waswas al-khannas? Al-waswas is the one that whispers. Al-khannas is the one that hides. Hides. Yakhnus. La aqsimu bil-khunnas. Al-jawari al-khunnas. That the stars are called al-khunnas. Why? Because they hide. Or in a way, you don't see them. When the light comes, you know, the sun comes up, they disappear. So al-khannas is the one that hides. Sayyid Qutb says that the one that hides is a very weak one. A strong one will never hide. So they are waswas and they are khannas. When the person is weak, they become al-waswas, they whisper. When the person becomes strong in his iman, they become al-khannas, they yakhnus, they hide.
So that means they are bad. So that's how they hurt us.
Because see, that's the question.
Yeah,
is that
how much they
see, everybody wants to go ahead. Yeah, yeah. No, the question is... sure. Every culture has so many stories, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah,
every story.
How much they can hurt? And the other question, is it right that they like to live in those old buildings? Like their little houses?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I heard like a story.
I live next to a building like that.
Like this house, they said they keep selling it because nobody can live in it. And so when they live,
next to my apartment building, I had an apartment building that nobody ever entered since I was born until now. So, I mean...
All of it, some of them, exactly.
Wallahi, jazakum Allah khair. Yeah, subhanAllah, again, see, everybody knows. everybody knows something. Yeah, let me tell you something. Can you imagine... Wallah, assalamu alaikum. Can you imagine somebody having some family problems in his house, and disputes and problems and whatever, headaches and whatnot, and then somebody comes to you, what seems to be like a person of religion, comes to you and tells you, you know, that your house is possessed or is inhabited by some evil spirits. What will that do to you? That's it. Then everything that you see in your house is going to be explained as such. Not only that, but now you'll never like anything about your own house. And the first thing that comes to your mind, we have to look for another place. Well, what if those jinns follow you there? A person might argue, you know. And subhanAllah, it is easy for a person who has family problems to find an easy interpretation. Instead of saying, for example, well, why not the way I treat my children? Why not the way I treat my wife, my family? Because I don't like to actually have the responsibility of doing that. You know, it is easy basically to find somebody else to blame. The jinn, which promises a quick fix, a quick solution. And of course, initially sometimes, the initial shock, yes, I feel good, he gave me this ruqya and I feel good. And the conclusion is, oh, he was cured from the jinn. Well, did you have a follow-up with them before you can conclude that?
Yes, Sayyid.
Just a question. You mentioned Jan. I thought Jan was the plural of jinn. You said it was the first.
Jan. Jan is believed to be the father of the jinns. Like Adam is the father of the humans, the Jan is the father of the jinns. So Allah created Adam. What?
The plural of jinn?
The plural?
Plural.
Plural? No, no, not the plural. Not the plural. The father of the jinns. Yes, sister. You know, because Iblis may be a special case, because he's أَنْذِنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, that Ya Allah, give me time until they were resurrected, and Allah gave him that. So Allah gave him that long life for Iblis. Let me summarize to you what we've discussed so far. The first thing we discussed is that we know for a fact that it's a fertile topic. I mean, that's something that is not really disputed. That this topic, it's an interesting topic. The other important thing that we discussed is that the aqidah, a belief, can only be based on an authentic, clear text. It cannot be taken from any source. So a aqidah can only be based on an authentic, clear text. Authentic, صَرِيحٌ وَصَحِيحٌ. You know, clear in its meaning and authentic in its credibility. And the one that wants to establish this belief is the one that has to bring the dalil. Not the one that is rejecting it. The other thing that we discussed is really what we believe about the jinns to be. We said that there are creatures from a different nature, a different form of existence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from fire before He created the human beings. And we know that they can be good or bad. So they have the options of being good and bad. And we know that they see us from where we do not see them. And even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if he was not told that these were listening, he would not have known. As the beginning of Surah Al-Jinn mentioned, قُلْ أُوحِيَ أَلَيَّ أَنَّهُ سَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِ. It was revealed to me that some of the jinns were listening. So if Allah did not tell him, the Prophet would not have known himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. They can be good, they can be bad. They whisper. We know that about them. What else did we say about the jinns? Allah dignified the humans above the jinns. So the human is far stronger than the jinn is. And also, Allah says that some of the humans were seeking help and support from the jinns, and they only messed them up, basically. They only increased them in fatigue. So they did not provide any of whatever actually they promised. So anyway, what next week we'll talk about, the definition of sihr, of magic, what it means, and how to be protected from that, based on the ruqya shar'iyyah. Zakum Allah khair. Okay? Khair, inshallah. Zakum Allah khair. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.